There's a lot of Fulham players back. Here's Angamoa in the box on the left, running at Castagna. Still Angamoa. Still creates a space. Oh! Shoots! What a goal! Rio Angamoa! That is an absolute beauty! Angamoa in the box again. Identical. Will he curl one again? He's taken them all on, Angamoa. Clips it in. Gakpo, good touch. Salah, first time! Oh! Goal! Yes! That's more like it! 2-0 Liverpool!
Just what the doctor ordered here at Anfield as the Reds earned a much-needed victory, which sees them go 4 points clear of sixth-place Chelsea ahead of their game with Manchester City on Sunday. In this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and goalscorer Rio Angamoa too. First, though, to pitchside analysis from Ray Houghton and Jason McAteer, who join myself, Becky Davis, in the rain after full-time. It was a game, Ray, brought to life by the magic of Rio Angamoa, but overall it feels like a real tonic, that.
Nice when you win, isn't it?
It is nice.
I'm not going to let the weather spoil it either, the enjoyment of the game.
Jason's suffering here, I think.
What we asked for was a victory, and that was what we got
and
today.
And we did.
You know, and the manager's got a few questions that he's going to have to mull over now to get answers to as far as team selection for Tuesday. Some of the lads who were given an opportunity in this game have done themselves a lot of favours by the way that they approached it. I thought through the course of the game that the lads that came in did a sterling job. Angamoa, he's one of them lads that lights things up, doesn't he? He's got this inane ability just to go past people. He can go off either foot, right or left foot. Likes to come in inside a lot, but can go out on the outside as well and get crosses into the box. Both the goals were very similar, weren't they? The way they just curled it into the far corner gave the goalkeeper no chance whatsoever. And it was at a stage where Fulham were looking at their best. You know, Liverpool started really well. Fulham got back into it, got a foothold in the game, and then the goals came. And then that just put them on the back foot until half-time. They'd done a little bit better, as you just seen with the shot statistics there. So they had a lot more action in the second half. But, yeah, the lads will be delighted. Manager will be very happy. He got what he wanted today, was to get closer to the teams above him. We said that, if they win, puts pressure on Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Puts pressure on Manchester United now with their fixtures over the next couple of days. So it's going to be intriguing. It's going to be a very exciting end to the season, both at the top, who's going to win it, who's going to get into the Champions League places, and who's going to get relegated.
Yeah, it becomes a real psychological battle at this stage of the season, doesn't it, Jace? Now, I think, as Ray says, all you can do is get your points on the board as soon as possible and hope others slip up after you.
Yeah, and there's big consequences when you lose. I'm more so at this football club because of the manner in the defeats we've had recently and the performances. But listen, it was a workmanlike performance today. It wasn't a swashbuckling, all action, high tempo, lots of tackles. It wasn't the game we kind of asked for, me and Ray, but, you know, in the main, it was a two-goal, obviously, deficit and two against Fulham. And, you know, it was some good performance by individuals. But it was the 3 points, which was the important thing. And, you know, with Everton dropping points, Brentford dropping points, big game for Chelsea coming up, it was important that we did take maximum points. It's lifted the mood. It's eased the pressure. And yeah, you know, there's things to work on. What I liked about it is Ray's just touched on it there. You know, Fulham didn't give up. We knew that. You know, we built them up in the pre-match, and, you know, we said that they'd accumulated quite a few points from losing positions. We knew they had a bit of honesty and resilience about them. But Liverpool showed that today. You know, they had their chances, Fulham, but Liverpool stood strong. They defended when they needed to. They put a lot of running in, getting back into positions, tried to make it difficult for Fulham, but they got a clean sheet out of it. So, listen, it just sets us up nicely for Tuesday night.
It sets us up perfectly for Tuesday night, Ray. We said that beforehand. It's about momentum, isn't it? And this had to be a platform for it. A massive week, not just PSG, but Everton as well. And this teases up as well as it possibly can for that.
Well, the players should know from last season as well, and all the players that have been here for a number of years, when you play for Liverpool Football Club, every game matters. you can't take a game off, you know, and say, oh, well, we won't play well today because we've got such and such coming up. You can't think that way. Every game is usually important to this football club, and the players have to go out and perform game in, game out. Now, we've got a clean sheet today as well, I think is absolutely huge. Yeah, Fulham have had a couple of chances, maybe they could have done a little bit better, but overall, I thought there was a different attitude and mentality to the way we defended today. The goalkeeper wasn't diving across his goal, making save after save, like he did in the Champions League match against PSG. So overall, yeah, there's a lot of positives to be taken out of it. Going to have to improve, of course you are. You're going to have to improve against the opposition on Tuesday because they've got more quality than Fulham, we all know that. But I think the players will be thinking to themselves between now and the end of the season, you know, we could end on a high. It's not been great, but we can make things change, we can make things happen, and that will be dependent on team selection on Tuesday and the players coming out of here with the right attitude.
We said we needed a moment, a spark to kind of feed off, and there wasn't, in truth, as you said before, an awful lot to shout about in the first half an hour. I think Cody had a chance, Mo had one saved, and Rio, who we'll obviously speak about now, but had a penalty appeal that was waved away. But he provided the spark, Jace, that got everyone off their feet.
It came at the right time as well. Like you said, we'd had a couple of half chances, hadn't we? A couple of snapshots and stuff, but again, I just felt the tempo was sort of going out of the game. It was getting a little bit laboured, a little bit slow and predictable again. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was a bright spark in the first 20 minutes. And then obviously he gets the ball, a couple of step overs, buys himself a lovely bit of space, doesn't he? And he finds the bottom corner like he'd been around for years. And he took it really, really well. I was made up for the young man, yeah. And it was nice that he played a part in Salah's goal as well. Again, he cut inside, lays the ball into Gakpo, plays a lovely little weighted ball right onto Mo's left foot. And we've seen him do that time and time again, haven't we? Just bend it into that bottom corner. And it was nice to get a 2-0 lead going into half-time because we know what we're like when we're 1-0. I mean, even 2-0. I mean, I said to Ray, I would like a third one in the second half, but obviously it didn't come and we held out. But to get the second one, I think just calmed everyone down.
Yeah, 17 years and 225 days, Rio becomes the youngest ever league goal scorer at Anfield. He takes Raheem Sterling's record, which has stood since October 2012, Ray. Quite something, this young man.
It is. Listen, he's an exciting prospect. You can, you know, tell with the crowd. Every time he gets the ball, the crowd are excited. They're on the edge of their seats because they're expecting something to happen when he's in possession of the ball, and he's so super confident. You know, he's got great belief in his own ability, and as the other players. You know, when they get the ball, they don't look at him and then shy away from him. As soon as he's on to play to it, they're giving him and they're encouraging him. Go on, you take the player on, and he never rejects that offer. You know, he wants to get at the fullback, he wants to drop his shoulder, he wants to go past him, he wants to make things happen that final third, and that's all you can want. That's all you can want from a youngster, you know, at that age to come out there. He's not got the experience at the moment. He's still learning. He goes along. But he's got supreme ability and great belief in himself.
You know what I like, Ray, about his attitude as well? It's not easy to come in to a team at the minute like this with the, you know, the fans on the edge, you know, with confidence being low and, you know, results being the way they've been and performances as well. You know, they haven't been great. So to throw him in, you know, I think Ray just used the word, he wants to make something happen. He wants to get on the ball. He's not shying away. He's not worried whether he gives it away. The crowd might get on his back. I don't think that would happen because of his age and the crowd obviously want him to do well. But you could feel like that in this team at the minute because it's not free flow and it's not coming natural. You know, they are working at it. They are thinking about it. You know, it's not coming on instinct. So, I was really happy with his attitude today. He just wanted to get on the ball and make something happen, and he did.
Yeah, he will be in demand in the media room at the moment, Rio Engamoa, but he's found time to speak to LFC TV. Here he is with Peter McDowell.
Rio, first question's a simple one. Just give us a penny for your thoughts. How are you feeling?
Good. Buzzing to get the 3 points, definitely. It was needed so we can go positively on Tuesday and to get a goal as well. Happy. Anfield, the home ground. I couldn't ask for much more, yeah.
Your face paints the entire picture and you're a veteran of this. You've done it before at Newcastle, but to do it here in front of the home fans, they're singing your name and everything else.
Yeah, I think Newcastle was great because they were all the way up there. But I think today was special, like even more, because to get the first goal in the game and to be at Anfield, it's the best stadium in the world. So I couldn't ask for much more, and the fans just singing my name. Special, yeah.
You'll have dreamt about this, but you're not waking up from this dream. This is real.
Yeah, it's real. Like I said, the goal today was amazing. I'm definitely going to celebrate it today with my friends at home, but then can't get too high because the game's on Tuesday. So, yeah, just back to reality.
It felt like a game that was perfect for you today in that it was everything about your style. Go at defenders, have shots at goal, get the crowd going, which was so important today.
Yeah, just, you know, when I get a chance to take on a man, I always take on my man. If there's an overlap on with Robbo, because he gives me a lot of help during the games, I'll play it to him. Or if I come inside, 1-2s with Flo. So I feel like I have a good connection with everybody now. And yeah, like I said, I just want to excite the crowd and excite everyone that's here to watch.
How much physically do you think you've come on since that first game at Newcastle? There was one point in the early stages where you're holding off Calvin Bassey trying to traverse towards goal. You know, that side of your game has really come on as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been in the gym from the summer. It's really important, I think, just to be strong because everyone's bigger than me. So if you're strong, but also because I'm quite quick, it'll give me an advantage. So I just got to be sharper and stronger and, yeah, there's plenty more to come. Yeah.
You score that goal, Mo scores a goal almost identically from the other side. You mentioned Robbo as well. Those two in particular, how important have they been to you in this first proper season with the first team?
Yeah, very important. I think Mo really helps me, especially at the start in pre-season along with Robbo. And because Robbo's a left-back, he helps me even more because, you know, he's such an experienced player and he's probably one of the best left-backs to ever play football. And, you know, just to... for him to play behind me is great and he teaches me a lot, and Mo, the best winger probably ever, so yeah, it's just a great feeling.
We spoke about Newcastle, that was the opening night of the season, and this is now the closing stages of the season. Do you feel as though you're in a much better place now to help ignite what is the closing stages of a really important campaign now?
Yeah, I think the start of the season was positive for everyone. My goal at Newcastle was obviously amazing, but that was the only, like, I think, highlight for me from the start to like the middle of the season, whereas now I feel like I can actually perform better and people can see what I can do. So yeah, just can't wait really to see how the end of the season evolves.
You mentioned Tuesday as well. It's huge now, isn't it? And it feels as though with the confidence that is almost priceless going into that we might feel a bit more confident than maybe we did before.
Definitely. I think getting the two goals today, you know, currently we're losing 2-0, but if we get the 2 goals back, it's a draw already. So then hopefully we can push and get more. And I think the team, you know, we have so much confidence and belief that reverse the tie. Yeah.
Just one final one, because this is about you, but I'm sure your thoughts already go to your mum and your brothers who've been there for you all through this journey, you know, picking you up and dropping you off at places. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know. My brother, probably when I scored, he was jumping everywhere. And my mum's definitely excited. She was definitely screaming. So, yeah, I was happy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well done, mate. Enjoy
this. Thank you.
Oh, you can only imagine how proud Rio Engamo's family are of him. Do you speak that eloquently at 17 years old, Jason?
I couldn't speak or write or read when I was 17. No, I mean, listen, they get media training now, and rightly so, because it's a big world. There's a lot out there that you're talking to, isn't there? So it's important that they talk well and they say the right things. And he did, and you could see how happy he was. I'm sure he wanted to say other things as well, but he kept everything in check, didn't he? Use the word back to reality. You know, we go again. You can't rest on it at this time of the year. It's great for him. It was a great game for him, and you know he's a star from it. We know he's a star in the making. His learning journey has been very, very good. I'd like to have seen him a little bit more of him, but the manager obviously sees a lot more than what we do in training, and he's got a lot to learn. But today he was the star of the show.
To hear your name reverberating around Anfield, Ray, he got a standing ovation when he came off. He doesn't turn 18 until the end of August, Rio Engamo. I mean, his future is phenomenally bright, isn't it?
It certainly is. And bottle that enthusiasm. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal, wasn't it? Just the joy in his voice, wasn't it? You know, he's really enjoyed the day. He wants to be a part of this football club. He wants to be a success. And it comes across when you hear him interviewed there. Really nice young man. Got his feet on the ground. You know, he's not, you know, worrying about what other people are saying about him. He knows how good he is. He knows that he can produce, and he just wants to be part of a very successful side. And if he gets his opportunity on Tuesday, whether he starts or if he comes off the bench, I'm sure he'll go out there and do his very, very best. But joy to listen to.
Yeah, 23 appearances it is, but only 6 of those starts. You said you would have liked to see a little bit more of him, but it's always that catch 22 of trying to protect him at the same time, given his age. And
yeah, listen, that's why I'm standing here talking about it, not managing Liverpool. A manager sees different things, doesn't he? I say that in the sense of he's so exciting. It's kind of you want more. Listen, had he been a fullback, I might not have said that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because he gets on the pitch and he lights it up, and, you know, that's what we pay our money for, isn't it? You know, that's what we want football to be. It's entertaining. You know, there's a lot of criticism around the world of football at the minute for what it's producing and how it's going. And, you know, it's not as exciting. People are talking about it's not as exciting as when we played and, you know, maybe a decade before and things things have to change and we've got to look at things. But it's great that we're seeing this kind of talent. You know, we had Jack Grealish at Aston Villa and he ends up at Manchester City and he becomes a Manchester City player. It's kind of, it was coached out of him. And like, you don't want to see that. You want to see the Yamals and the Engamoas and you want to see that excitement. And like Ray said, then you want to see him at the end of the game where he scored and he's got so much joy about him. It's just refreshing. It's just lovely. It's not this, it's not the same thing that comes out of the player's mouth, is it? He's got something else to say. It's just lovely.
There's a reason why the fans are excited.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's passing the ball backwards and square.
No,
it's because he's
been
positive. And Jason's quite right. There's many a player that's around today who don't want to take players on. They don't want that responsibility. They want to do the simple thing because they think that's going to keep them in the team more often. But when you've got an exciting talent like that, he can be a game changer, a match winner, the difference in a tight game. So that's why you don't ever want to coach it out of him. You want to encourage that level of getting on the ball and taking on your fullback. He just said to himself, he says, every time I get the ball, I want to take the fullback on because that's what he's good at. And you've got to know your strengths. You've got to know your weaknesses. You work on your weaknesses, but your strengths are always going to be with you. So if you're a good attacker and running with the ball, do it. And you should be encouraged to do it by your teammates and by your manager because that's why you're in the team. We know what you're good at. We know what the opposition's not so good at. They don't want you running at them like that because there's not many around that do it anymore.
Yeah.
Mo has done it for years. Mo would take you on, beat you by his skill and his upper body strength. And this kid's got it as well. He's got that natural ability to go past people.
Do you know what I think he needs credit? And I had a conversation about him, Alex Inglethorpe, at the academy.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke to him about players coming through the academy and, you know, what do you make them into? Do you coach out of them? Because could you imagine, like, Robbie and Maka going into the academies back then? There wasn't academies, really, back then. But they got into the team and they were who they were. They expressed themselves. They got into the team because they had so much talent. It wasn't coached out of them. And I've got this bugbear that sometimes academies do coach the talent out of them and they become a number or a pattern or just something that they can work with the first team. But Alex is totally against that. Alex is all for, you know, individualism, expression, express yourself on the pitch, do what you're good at, and we'll make that better. You know, we'll make you proper people. We'll learn on your skills as people skills. We'll develop you as human beings. And you can see all that there, you know, in his interview, in his performance, the way he was on the pitch. So credit goes to Alex and his team.
And he's listening and he's learning. He mentioned the players who have really helped him along the way.
I was just going to say that,
from Robbo, he said, you know, Robbo's been the best left back because he's encouraged me. He's, you know, he's there behind me. And that's what you want. When you overlap, that's just an option. It's an option that it might be the best run to give him the ball when he's made that run. There's other times when Robbo will just sit behind him and go on then, Real, you take him on. Because if he takes him on and loses it, Robbo's there behind to win the next ball. And that's what you want from your winger and your fullback. A really good communication between the two of you, knowing where each other's going to be. And the more you do it, more repetitive it becomes in training, matches, the easier it is to play in. You know, when you go out and play in matches, and that's what you can see from him playing alongside Andy today, and he said Mo Salah's been another one who's really helped him. Somebody's got all the experience of being a winger and what it's like, that pressure on you week in, week out, and he's tried to express to him, this is what I did, maybe you can do something a bit similar, but keep encouraging him to take players on because that's where he's going to get joy and he's going to be a real performer for Liverpool over the next number of years.
You'll save him a few quid. I know that. Yeah. You know, them kind of players are in the hundreds, aren't they?
Yeah, but what you also, sorry, just on that, but today, Liverpool played different to what they have done recently because they had more width. We were on the left and more on the right. That was a bit like last season where we really spread teams. You know, their back four couldn't go really narrow because you had two wingers. So they were always like in a half a position, if you like, not too close to the centre half, but worried about where the winger was. And that made a difference today. We weren't as narrow, and I thought it gave more room for Florian Wirtz and then the midfielders. There was more space for them to get on the ball because it wasn't all compact because we had that width. So I thought that was an important issue today as well.
We'll speak about Paris Saint-Germain in depth a little bit later on, but just on Rio, does this performance today change your mind in terms of his involvement on Tuesday night?
No, I said at the top of the show, I think the manager will know his team.
Yeah.
Ray's right, there was some really good performances. It might make the manager go home tonight and think, should I? But I think he'll stick with what he's planned. You know, the staff would have all sat down together and, you know, figured out who they're going to play and why they're going to play and manage the game. You know, it's like, listen, if this happens, then we'll have this will happen and we'll put him on. If we're behind, we'll do this. He's a great asset to come on Rio Engamoa, yeah. Great asset to come on. But I think the level of that game, them kind of players, Ray touched on it before, listen, they're a different animal to Fulham. Listen, they can keep the ball. You know, Rio Engamoa is a great talent, but he's not the finished article. And you can find out, you can lose a lot of confidence against a team like Paris Saint-Germain. You know, they can play around you, they can make you look ordinary. It might be a step too soon for him to start, but I think, you know, definitely he'll get some minutes.
Tactics will play a big part in it, what your team selection is. What system are you going to play? You know, you're going to go with two up front, or you're not. You know, that will all play into the manager's thoughts, big coaching staff, and what they're going to do as far as the team selections is concerned. You know, you're going to go with wingers, you're going to try and stretch the game that way. Then you might think Rio's the right player over on that left-hand side. So Arne will be looking at tonight, and he'll be happier than he would have been obviously before the game. Not just with the win, but there were some good performances there from players that will put just a seed in his head about, oh, what shall I do? What should I do? I agree with Jason. I think they had a plan in place, but sometimes your plans you have to put to one side because someone's put themselves in the shop window to play in the game. So you have to look at that as well, and I'm sure he will.
Yeah, he's a game changer, isn't he, at least, to have the option to bring on it. And also it could even go to extra time, Jace, so who knows on that score.
Exactly, when, you know, fatigue has set in and, you know, what an asset to come on the pitch. And I agree with Ray, he might have done enough. Listen, we talk about they have plans, but they can change them. He might have done enough today where he goes home on a slot and thinks, do you know what, he gives us a lot of whiff, he was a problem, if we have possession, he could do this, he could do that. I might just throw him in, you know, I might just do it. I don't think he will, but he could do. But listen, if he doesn't, God, what an asset to bring on. If it's, you know, if the level with 15-20 minutes to go, you know, he can make something happen.
Okay, well, there were 16 years and 75 days between the scorer of the first goal, Rio Engamoa, and Mohamed Salah, who, of course, gets the second. That, incidentally, is actually the biggest age gap between goal scorers in a Liverpool game, Ray, in Premier League history. But Rio heavily involved in creating that for Mo as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But what a finish. You know, once he stepped onto it, he never looked like missing it. He went right in the corner. You know, it's hit the side netting. You know, exactly the same as Rio's in the opposite side of the pitch. You know, he's come in from the left-hand side, curled it in with his right foot. Mo's come in from the right-hand side, curled it in with his left foot. Absolutely exquisite finish. And at the right time as well. You know, to go 2-0 up then, you could see the Fulham players' shoulders were down, you know, heads were down. They knew that Liverpool were well on top at that particular stage, and it was a real uphill battle for them. But I was delighted for Mo and the reaction that he got from the crowd as well, and his reaction to the crowd. I think that said an awful lot about him, where he is at the moment as a player, and what he wants to do in the remaining fixtures for Liverpool.
Yeah, hard to believe. It's his first Premier League goal at Anfield since the 1st of November, Jason. Obviously, he's been away at AFCON in that time, but we don't know how many more moments we have left with Mo Salah like that, but you could tell he enjoyed that, and we enjoyed it as well.
It's not been the most productive season, but he set himself such high standards, hasn't he? His numbers are phenomenal, and you can't keep doing that. It has been quite a dramatic drop-off, but you know, it's there's a lot of things, variables into that as well. I think the loss of Trent, I think the tactics, the way he's played, you know, the everything that goes around, sort of the noise around him as well. When he's not playing well, he sort of takes the criticism. He makes news, he makes headlines, doesn't he? Good and bad. And when I say bad, when he's not playing well, he seems to be, you know, the one it's Mo Salah. And it's not always him. But today, what I'm trying to say is he kind of like, you can see him wanting to try to do it and trying, and sometimes when you think about it, it doesn't happen. And that today was a bit of instinct, and that's when he's at his best, when he's kind of not thinking about it, when it just comes instinctively. And it come to him and he didn't even think, did he? He just went whip and just put it right into the bottom corner. No keeper in the world would save it. Like Ray said, it was in the perfect spot, wasn't it?
It does make me smile, though. Is that 256 goals that he's got? And they were still saying, he's not scored many this season. No. I think we forget about what he's done in others. He is what he is. He's a phenomenal phenomenal footballer who's had an incredibly successful career. And none more so here at Liverpool for the last nine seasons. Eight of them were absolutely wondrous at times. The performances he put in, the goals that he scored. And it'd be nice to, for him and for everyone associated with this club, just to wish him well in the remaining fixtures that we've got. And he comes up trumps and plays a major part in some of the big games that Liverpool have got. He's got the ability to do it. He's got the mindset to do it. I think his connection with the fans again today when he scored and the reaction from him is all there. It's all in place. He's just got to hopefully get in the team for one and then start doing what he's done for all these years, which is score goals.
But to talk about his goal, I mean, listen, it was a really important goal, you know, 2-0. We've seen how fragile Liverpool can be. At 2-3-0, I mean, definitely at 1-0. You know, Fulham asked a few questions in the second half. Had it been 1-0 and then they get back into it, you know, it goes 1-1 and then you're fearing for Liverpool, he could be on the end of another defeat. But the goal he scored was fantastic. But 2-0 was really important. So it gave everyone a bit of a lift. Everything settled down, didn't it? And we started getting a bit of belief in the way we played. So, you know, we're talking about him playing an important part. It was an important moment in the game and it was produced by Mo Salah.
You are right, by the way. It was his 256th goal, Mo Salah. But only phenomenal. But only Thierry Henry at Highbury has got more Premier League goals at a stadium than Mo Salah has at Anfield. He's obviously a Liverpool legend, but he's a Premier League legend as well, right?
Yeah. He's just a legend of world football, never mind. You know, wherever he's played, just have a look at his stats. His stats are absolutely extraordinary. And none more so when he's came to this club. I mean, when he first came here, I think people were saying, well, what's he going to be like? Well, he's turned out to be an absolute superstar, isn't he? Yeah. he's got more goals than I have games. I mean, that's what you look at. I mean, that's what you just look at the stats. I mean, but you could go through so many players and say, yeah, I played 250 games and most how I got 256 goals. And you're like, quite interesting.
I mean, it is testimony, though, isn't it, to the way he looks after himself. Oh. It's not a coincidence that he's played that many games because he is one of the most finely tuned athletes in the world, Jason.
He really does look after himself, and you know, I think what drives him as well is like he likes to break records, doesn't he? Like you put a record in front of him and say, I don't know, for instance, Ray Outon scored this many goals, he'll want to break it, you know, when he'll want it, and then once he does, he's on to the next one, isn't he? And he's on to the next one. He's very much performance driven, which obviously, you know, will reflect in the team as well. Obviously he does it individual, but he's a very collective player as well. He's a great leader in the dressing room by his performances. But again, from, you know, from the football club's point of view, you know, he's worth his weight in gold. From he has been over the years, obviously he's leaving, but from a commercial point of view, as the club's growing, you know, you need a world superstar, you know, to go global. And you know, Liverpool's marketing has been very, very good, and he's been at the forefront of that. You know, everyone, every kid you want to see has got Mo Salah shirts on the back. I travel with the club, Ray, you do, and you go to all four corners of the world, and you'll always see a Mo Salah shirt wherever you go. You know, he's been worth his weight in gold off the pitch as well for Liverpool. He's been an absolute superstar, not just at this football club, but in global football.
Team should look at what he does and how he keeps himself so fit. It's phenomenal. Yeah. When you look through his career, you're... How rare him missing the game is through injury. Yeah. I mean, how is that? How's he done that? I mean, that's one of the things I'd be looking into if I was on the medical side.
Got
of things.
Good genes, good genes he's got. I mean, we haven't all got them. He's got good genes.
You see him on social media though, don't you? At 3 o'clock in the morning, he's in the ice bath after he comes back from away game.
Pack, can't he? And he's just
it's no surprise.
You like a xylophone.
Look at Messi. You know, look at Messi. Look at Ronaldo. Look at the top players. Ellen Haaland, honestly, you go and have a look at what these boys put themselves through. You know, first into training, last away. You know, you say they're in ice baths, diet. You know, they've got everything because they know they've got one career and they want to make the most of it and they want to be involved in virtually every game. And a lot of it is to break records. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, so about how many goals am I going to score? That's all he's thinking about. How many games am I going to play? How many international caps am I going to get? And Mo Salah, very similar. You know, he'll want to keep going for as long as possible.
Yeah, you spoke about the shirts and all the kids having the Mo Salah shirts. I mean, he is a guy that the kids who are here today standing on the cop in generations to come will speak to their kids about watching Mo Salah. He is that significant in the history of this football club, Jason.
Well, that's it. And, you know, we talk about the development and our football clubs, you know, they carry on. They need a superstar, you know, because it carries the generations through. And, you know, we've lost one. Someone has to now step into them shoes, a couple of Florian Wirtz. You know, they've all got the opportunity to do it. But the clubs need that to develop. They need to keep going. They need to keep developing. Sadly, you know, we've developed a world superstar. He's honed his craft here and he's become that player. He's probably not quite the Messi Ronaldo, but he's certainly in the next bracket below that. Now he's gone, it paves the way for someone else to step in their shoes, and I wonder who it could be. Rio Engavara. Let's see.
You never know. We saw some pretty emotional scenes, I think it's fair to say, after the full-time whistle involving Mohamed Salah and also here Andy Robertson too, who of course Ray announced that he will be departing the football club this week. And you would imagine over the course of the next few Anfield games, they haven't got too many left now here at home. There will be many more scenes like this.
Jason and I played for this great club, and all I can tell the two lads is savour every moment. You know, because once you're away, you know, you're going to miss it so much. You know, it's absolutely incredible. And both of them had a fantastic reception from the supporters. Robbo throughout the game. I mean, obviously, it's only just broke, isn't it, in the last few days that Andy's going to be moving on. And I think the fans wanted to show their appreciation for everything that he's done for the football club. We sort of knew a little bit more about Mo. And, you know, so it's been more gradual. But Andy's was all about today. And you could see emotionally how involved they have been. You know, you're walking off the pitch and, you know, they know what this Liverpool crowd are like. And, you know, when you're done what they've done and the trophies that they've won and the performances they've put in, you're going to get a reaction like this from the supporters.
What I like about it, I don't know whether it happened with you when you left, but they've obviously, you know, the players and the club have come to a mutual agreement about them leaving, and they've come out and said they're going to go. So, you know, they know when they're going to go. They've picked their time when they're going to go, which is the end of the season. I was in a bit of no man's land with my career here, and I didn't know what was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, the transfer happened overnight, and then I left the football club, and I didn't have the chance to come out and, you know, savour the moment, savour my last game, think this is it. And then, you know, I just didn't get that moment. It was literally I played one week and went.
I do think it has changed though, Jason, from
to more like this,
to more like this from way back when. I don't think it was a big thing back in the day. Whereas now, I think it's totally changed. It's a bit like winning the league. I remember when they won the league, I was jealous. I remember when we won the league, it was nothing like that. They're out there singing and having a party with the fans. We went round the perimeter of the pitch once, clapped everyone, and that was it.
Oh,
it was
just similar. We'll get you on the bus right next time.
Yeah, you know, like,
did you get to say goodbye when you left?
No.
See, that's quite sad, isn't it? That is sad. Well, but they get it. They're brilliant.
Yeah. It is, but I just think it's changed, and I think it's changed in a good way. I really do. I like the way there's the interaction between the supporters and the players now. I think it's brilliant. You know, when you win a game and you're coming out and your manager's going, whoa. I love all that. Some people don't like it. I like it. I think it's great. It gets the fans excited. It gets them that they feel part of it. And I think it really works well for the club.
Yeah, we said, didn't we? I mean, they were singing Andy Robertson's song before they'd even kicked off and then they broke out the cup again. I think it was under a minute on the clock before they were singing his song again. And if stuff like that just rouses them a little bit at the start of a match, Jason.
And he's an emotional character, isn't he, Robbo? You know, so he's probably keeping the tears in. He probably is keeping the tears in. And I'm made up he got his performance today and he played well and he won. He was a big part of that. Not sure whether he's going to play on Tuesday. He might feature again before the end of the season. You know, there's another 6 Premier League games. Hopefully we can stay in the Premier League a bit longer. Prolongs his career here and maybe gets more minutes. I'm sure we will see him again in a Liverpool shirt before the end of the season. But it was nice that the fans paid their respect to him. I'm sure there's more to come for him. But like we said at the top, you know, it's another legend gone, isn't it?
It is. Let's get the thoughts of the boss now. Arne Slot is with Peter Mitzel.
Boss, congratulations. Rio inspired, but it felt like we needed that today.
Yeah, of course. After losing 4-0 at City and losing 2-0 at Paris Saint-Germain, which felt more than 2-0. And looking at the league table, we needed a win. And that's not easy if you play so many games as we do. So little rest in between the games. But the good thing is, I wouldn't say the first time this season, but it didn't happen many times this season, that I had a lot to choose. And because this week I have something to choose, I could rotate a little bit as well. And I think that helped because the players that started were fresh, were ready. And Rio was definitely one of them.
It felt like we needed the goal when it came as well, didn't we? They had a little spell for them and it came just at the right time to reignite Liverpool again almost.
Yeah, because I think we started off really well in the first 20, 25 minutes. We were very close 4 or 5 times. And then I did see the same as you saw. I felt like Fulham got a bit into the game. And as we are used to this season, every time when a team comes a little bit into the game, they score. Mm. But no, didn't happen a lot this season. But on the other end, we scored, and that gave us momentum. And I've said so many times, goals are so important for momentum in a positive, in a negative way. And this gave us momentum to score the 2-0 straight afterwards.
Bit of history, and he's been on the journey, hasn't he, all season, Rio? But to be the youngest Premier League scorer here at Anfield is a huge moment for him, isn't it? And then Salah gets the goal at the other side, almost like a changing of the guard, isn't it, with him going at the end of the season. He's had a huge impact on his progress this year as well, Mo.
Yeah, I think it's very important for young players or for the players we brought in to see the effort Mo every day puts in, to be available every 3 days. And of course, apart from that, the way Mo finishes is, of course, one of his characteristics or what makes him so special. But Rio had a great 1v1 moment. I've said many times how important that is. And I've said, I think, a few months ago that his playing time will increase because he got stronger and stronger, more ready and ready. And that's what we are seeing now, second start in Premier League, third start in, I think, four or five games, five or six maybe, because he played the FA Cup at Wolves as well. So, yeah, good start of his career. First youngest goal scorer at
Anfield in the Premier League. And 16 years between him and Mo as well, which just shows, doesn't it, the difference now. But where do you think he's improved the most? You're saying there that he's getting more opportunities because he deserves them. Is that a physical thing you think he's improved on over the months of this season?
Yeah, yes, for sure. But I think you could even see today in two moments, which is still something he needs to work on. So there were two moments where one time he got pushed off the ball in a dangerous position. So if that happens in the other 80-yard box, I don't care at all. And there was, of course, a moment where the fullback went into the 18-yard box and he didn't track that run. Now, this happens with wingers in general, but I think this improved a lot with him. And he now gets also, how do I say this? So we've always seen how special he is in his tricks and his movements. But to put an end product to it, we saw this more and more during training sessions. We saw this more and more when he came in. And these two things you need, because maybe Alex Isak is a great example of that. If you saw him today, you can see that he's been out for quite a while. You can see the quality, but I don't know if everyone saw, every time when he made an effort, it took him 1 or 2 minutes to recover from that. And that is what young players have as well. And this league is so intense, either it's the Premier League or the Champions League, that you need to be ready for that, to just keep going, be strong enough to keep going. And I think it's already very special that at the age of 17, he's able to do so. And I don't think there's any player at any club at the moment that has had so many playing time as Rio had it, in the Premier League, by the way, at one of the best clubs in the world. So much playing time. So that tells you how much chances we give him, but also how special he is.
Big win, clean sheet. Enjoy tonight. We'll do it again Tuesday, hopefully.
I will sign for that. Yeah.
Oh, we'll speak about PSG in a minute, but the boss, I'm sure, Ray, will be relieved tonight. It's obviously not been a great couple of weeks, but this was the lift he needed ahead of a big week.
Yes, absolutely, ahead of this game on Tuesday. But I've got to say, he's been fairly balanced. He doesn't get too high or too low, does he, when he's, you know, asked questions after matches. He's been more animated on the sidelines in a few games that we've seen recently. But when he comes out and speaks to the press, you know, he's very balanced in what he wants to say about the game. And I thought he was very balanced what he said about young Rio as well. But yeah, he'll be delighted. Look, listen, you think last season you win the league. This season, you know, it's gone the way that it has. For him, it's a massive learning curve as a manager as well about, one, being a winner, and two, trying to retain it the following season and how that works in England. He might have done other stuff when he was managing in somewhere in Europe, but when you come to the Premier League, it's going to be a lot more difficult, and how you handle it along the way. I think he's done very well from that side of things. It's not been easy for him, but he's always been up for it. He's always come out, he fronts up to the media as best as he can, and he tries to say what he feels in himself about how the team's played, and I think there's an honesty about what he says about football matches.
Yeah, Ray's right, because it's been uncharted territory in many ways, for many different reasons this season, Jace, for Arnslot and for the football club as a whole. But he always is very level, always very calm, even in the face of tough times.
And in winning, you know, he's always stayed level-headed, hasn't he? He's never got carried away with himself. And it has been difficult for him. He's had to bat some difficult questions off about his career, about the performances, about the football club. But Ray's right, you know, even for him, it's a learning curve. I think realising how much scrutiny you do get at this football club. It's all right saying, you know, I can kind of expect it and I thought it would be like this. Until you're in that spotlight, I don't think you're quite ready for it. And, you know, listen, if his career goes on at this football club, which we all hope it does, you know, that will stand him in good stead, you know, for things to come. You know, in adversity, like Ray mentioned at the top of the show, in adversity, you learn a lot about yourself, a lot about your team. It's not all about winning. You know, you've got to, you know, rough patches, rocky patches. You'll know who's with him during the rocky and the tough times and who's not with him. And, you know, we still got a lot of fans here. We mentioned it before that there is a minority of fans who are disgruntled with performances, and rightly so. Listen, they pay their money and they come and watch their game and they're allowed to voice their opinion. You know, we're all allowed to give an opinion. But for him, he has to stay level-headed, and he's done that in his interviews. But one thing I'm really impressed with him, he's always been honest. He's always been honest, an honest assessment of his team's performances, and he knows when it's good enough and when it's not. And he'll go away tonight, he'll reflect on the team performance, and yeah, he might have a glass of wine or two tonight.
Yeah, he will go away and immediately think about PSG, I'm sure, Ray. But in terms of the dressing room, obviously we've said it's the perfect tonic. Confidence can be so fragile, but tonight it will be a big boost for them, won't it?
There's nothing better than winning football matches. You know, you finish the game, the crowd are on a high. You know, there's no criticism at the moment from the supporters. They're happy with what they've seen. They're happy with the attitude, the commitment that the boys showed throughout the 90 minutes. And it's just about, can you do it again on Tuesday? That's what they'll be looking at. They'll come here in anticipation, the supporters. They'll be hoping for another Barcelona, one of them superb European nights. It's whether the players can produce it or not. You know, you've got to go out there and play without fear. You know, you can't worry about the opposition. We've said about how good they can be. PSG, of course they are. Barcelona were brilliant before they came, but they didn't handle the occasion, they didn't handle the night, and it's about you as an individual, you as a group going out and imposing yourself on the opposition as early as you possibly can. Get the crowd behind you, get, as I said, a bit like today, I was hoping for a few more shots early on, but we got a couple of corners and you could tell it lifted the whole stadium. All the home supporters were, we're on the front foot, we're getting opportunities. Mo whipped in two brilliant balls into the 6-yard box, easily could have led to a goal. Unfortunately, we didn't get our head on it, and the Fulham players cleared the lines. But it was more positive from that point of view, and that's what's needed on Tuesday. That, and I think, obviously, a bit of good luck and team selection. Team selection is going to be absolutely key.
Yeah, I'll come on to team selection in a minute and maybe ask how you guys would go. But PSG come into this off the back of a full week's rest. They maybe slightly controversially got their Ligue 1 game, which was due to take place today against Lens, who they are battling for with the French title, Jason. That was postponed. Lens not too happy about that, I don't think.
I'm in two minds with that. In one way, I'm kind of... fair play to them. You know, they've been looked after by their association and they know how important it is and they give it. Unlike the Premier League, where we saw Liverpool against Galatasaray and then travel all the way to Brighton, you know, a 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday. It would have been nice to have pulled in a favour from the Premier League and maybe had moved the game for us and given us a bit more recovery time, but it wasn't to be. But yeah, their game has been called off. So, yep, they come here on Tuesday, you know, having played less minutes than us and, you know, probably relishing the opportunity of 2-0 up and taking on this Liverpool side that they feel that they will be able to do a job on. But, you know, they've experienced last season. There's a lot of them players in that team, Paris team, that were here last season. So they'll know the noise, they'll know the atmosphere. But like I'm in agreement with Ray again, you know, it's down to the players. You know, the fans can only do so much. They can only produce a noise. The Paris players can adapt to that, but it's the players when they get stuck into their faces, raise the noise, raise the roof, you know, make sure that they know they're in a game from the off. You know, they don't sort of amble into the game and wait for something to happen, very passive in the first 20 minutes. Let them know. Let them know that they're at Anfield and the noise is here.
Strangely enough, when you're 2-0 up and you're going away from home, it's not as easy as you think, you know, because what's your attitude when you go into the game? Do you protect that two-goal advantage that you got? Are you concerned with that? Do you try to go and get a goal to make it three? Then you're saying, you know, they're not going to get three against us. You know, Liverpool are not going to get three against us. What's their attitude going to be going into the game? I think it's going to be a fascinating encounter. First 15 minutes, I always think in matches, tell you a great deal how the game could potentially go. If, you know, PSG are sitting back and allowing Liverpool on them, I'd be encouraged by that. If they came out and start dictating the pace of the play and getting lots of possession of the ball, I'd be really worried because that's their game. Their game is going from one side of the pitch to the other, waiting for an opening, and then when you fall asleep, they play a little ball in and then they're in for an opportunity to score a goal.
Yeah, the first goal, we said it pretty much, didn't we? But it is so critical, isn't it, Jason? If Liverpool get one early on, as you said, against Barcelona, that kind of night could develop. You never know.
Yeah, I think as well what's important is, listen, when we're in possession and we're obviously going to try and knock on the door and create an opportunity and obviously score a goal, you are still very vulnerable, and even more so against a team like this, because the very, very good players, Kvaratskhelia, you know, even out of possession, he'll be wandering into positions where all of a sudden it will break down and it's bang, it's into him, and then he's free and then he's at them. So Liverpool have to be aware that even though they're in possession, look around, you know, see where the danger is, see what happens if it does break down, make sure that hole's not there in case it does. You know, if there's a player out wide, make sure you've got an eye on him in case the ball goes there. You know, you are vulnerable in possession, so especially against this team, because they can punish you in a blink of an eye.
They're not a conventional team that you play against, because you've got the right back in the centre forward position, you've got the left winger in the left back in the left winger's position, the left winger comes in centre forward, Dembele comes back into midfield. So as an opposition, you're playing against, and you know, as a centre half, you're like, well, who should I be marking? Because normally there's someone up here. Someone up here that we have to play against, we have to mark. But because they just rotate positions, and they're all so comfortable in all them positions, I mean, they must do it on a daily basis. They must practice that day after day after day to get that. And by the way, it's not just the 11 that start. You've got another, you know, on the bench, you've got another seven or eight, nine of them who can run and do exactly what they can do. So they're a phenomenal side that way. That's where communication's key when you're playing against them. Encouraging someone to go in tight, even your centre-half's going to gamble occasionally and go in and pick someone up in the middle of the park. You still have one defender, centre-half back there, and you might not have anyone to mark. So it shouldn't be that foreign to you. It's all about looking around you and communicating with the players in front of you.
Yeah, they've won their last four away games in all competitions, three of those without conceding a goal, Jase. We're obviously speaking about the positives here, but did you see any weaknesses that Liverpool might be able to exploit?
In a word. No, it's like, listen, you can't let teams have all their own way. You know, that no team cannot be beaten. You know, you've just got to find the formula, you've got to find the performance, you've got to find it within yourselves to, you know, to combat what they're good at. And, you know, I said it at when we were talking about them in the pre-match, you know, Vitinha and Neves, they love to get on the ball. They're the heartbeat, they're the tempo, they're the source. You know, if you can stop them playing, them too, stop them getting on the ball and getting their heads up and executing the passes, you're in the game. You're in the game, because they've got to have to find it from somewhere else. And there's no other players in that Palace team as good as them at doing that. So if you can let someone else have the ball to try and find the source, you've got half a chance, because he might give it away. Them two don't give it away. They'll have interphone box, them two. They are brilliant.
They lost Donnarumma, who of course was excellent last season, right, to Manchester City. His replacement maybe didn't look the most confident
I didn't think
night.
He was, to be honest. I thought whenever we put a decent delivery into the box, whether that was a cross or a free kick or a corner into the box, he didn't look confident coming for it. He wasn't coming collecting it, trying to punch it all the time. And I think with the height in the Liverpool side, and maybe with the changes in the manager, might have even more height in the team, then set plays could be absolutely pivotal as far as that's concerned. But I just think it's all about tempo for me. If you play at a slow tempo, you're playing into PSG's hands. You can't. You've got to play at a high tempo, and you've got your, as Jason quite rightly pointed out, when you've got the, is that three of them, Zaire, Emery as well in midfield, them three in midfield, just rotate around, and they're strong in possession, they've got good awareness, good vision, they're very, very fit. But if you can go with them and stick to them like glue, 3v3, and say, right, I'm going to be on top of you. Every time the ball comes in, you're not going to get free, I'm going to be on top of you, and I'm going to pressurise you. See how good they are when they are really tightly marked. They're very good when they've got a lot of freedom, because they move around and people don't go with them. So they've got a lot of space to get turned on it, get their head up, and then they can make a pass. But if you're right on top of them, without giving away the silly free kicks, but get right on top of them and then make them work for the space. Might be a little different case.
Well, we said Arne Slot will be going home tonight to think about it. If Jason McAteer was in the dugout on Tuesday night, God forbid, what would you be thinking?
God forbid. Thanks. In one sentence, wrote my career off there. That's my managerial career. Thank you. What's your question?
What would you be doing with the Liverpool team?
What would I be doing?
Yeah. Selection.
Listen, I'd go all out.
He's all in.
Do you know what? I would go east. I'd go Isak Ekitike. I'd go Ray. What Ray said, two up top.
Yeah.
I would. I don't think they'd expect that. I'd go two up top.
That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Tuesday night here at Anfield with analysis and interviews after that Champions League quarterfinal second leg against PSG. If you haven't done already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any episodes when they drop.